I have hit
Hello.
record.
Okay, give me a minute. I just need.
I'm just gonna go to the bathroom. Hang on.
We'll just get a drink.
Yeah.
Get settled in and be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, got my drink. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Hmm. Well, I suppose we'll start.
Oh my God, what's happened to my drink?
What are you drinking there, Chris?
I don't know. It's kind of like fading in and out of existence.
Also, be careful. There seems to be some violence going on.
Yeah, I guess so. We start with the elephant in the room then.
Okay, breaking news.
Or the spike through the chest.
All right. So.
Anybody that looks at the comments will have seen, or well, will know if you know from last episode, we talked about this quite a bit about how the spike could go through. Well, have a look.
Sorry, he's
have
just
a
like
chest.
He's like the Force Ghost of rubbish.
And also, you know, the fact that in this episode, on the episode we just watched, he is definitely back. You know, because there was obviously a bit of discussion at the last episode because he was obviously still alive, and somebody found him and called for help. That
was he alive or was he mostly dead?
Yeah, and then obviously this episode is like. Oh, he's somehow fucking alive then. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there's going to be like some kind of space medicine that speeds up the process, I'm guessing, and certainly is, you know. But I'm going to guess that it's not.
Yeah, what our problem is, what a lot of people's problem with this is like what we discussed. If you look at the chat on the last episode, look at the discussion underneath, you know, it's mostly us arguing about it.
Okay, right. I've got two pictures to show you because actually I think there's a little bit of inconsistency in the actual show itself. So I've got
This is not an early show at all, by the way. Don't ever think they were nerds.
Okay, so this is the
first... I like your CSI Expanse hashtag as well.
That was good. Yeah.
So here, right, he is being held up against the wall. This is like the first scene where we see him getting like pinned up. And now Drew, you did a diagram where, like, you thought he was hit, like, in the heart.
However, well, no, I think below the heart.
Below the heart, right?
Yeah, so I think it's under the sternum, under where the rib cage meets in the middle, in that soft area, mm-hmm. and it's just missing the stomach and the liver, and just luckily missing, which is plausible for that position.
It's plausible, like, but also, like, if you look at the zip. Right,
you
look at the zip.
Oh, no, the zip argument, this is the magic bullet bit.
This is the third gunman or whatever. The zip is not a reliable center line.
No, but it is. But it is up against his neck. Like he's almost being choked by it, right?
Yes.
Which means that that jacket is like higher up. Like that's
but he's not too first of all, this perspective, there's foreshortening, and also he's diagonal and like. I don't think you can line it through with the zip in that way.
I mean, have you got the shot from the replayed video, that the propaganda video? Have you looked at that one? Because that's in this episode, isn't it? The video.
Oh, right.
Okay, well, we can have it.
We can have more arguments,
right? Like that's about like pinky finger to thumb distance, I would say. Right. I
mean, what are you measuring?
Like the distance from his neck to where it goes in.
Yeah. Oh, no. Way more than that. It's two of those, at least.
Oh, no, it's two of those, it would be in his belly
he's
button.
He's foreshortened.
He's pushed up against a wall flat. So, like, he's...
But no, the camera is lower. He's a little bit back from our angle. He's not fully back against the wall. Like, his shoulders are back against the wall.
I fully expect by next week to have a 3D wireframe model of this built by one of you guys to sort of prove your point one way or the other.
We're just taking 90 minutes at the beginning of the show to discuss the latest theories on the spike.
The spike.
Hashtag the spike.
I end up doing a master's on the spike. Okay, so... Then there's a frame, and the frame that I'm going to put up now is exactly one frame.
Hang on, before you move the frame on, could you stand up and mirror his position?
Look, this is his position.
The court of law.
So it's a cut. So, that's one frame later. So as you can see, the bullet back to the left, right?
No, it's back into the left.
Back into the left.
it's moved down. Now, I'm not going to be so pedantic as to say...
No, I like, think he's hunched over there, is what... I mean, it does... I admit it looks a little bit off, but I think he's... Because on the first shot, his shoulders are against the wall. Oh, I'm literally disappeared. His shoulders are against the wall, and on this shot, he's hunched... He's pinned by the stake, obviously, and he's hunched over the stake. So that distance looks like it's shorter.
But he's being held up by arms.
But he's still hunching forward.
Neck-wise, right? Whole body. He's not leaning forward. He's just like...
He's hunched, and he's obviously pivoting on the point where he's pinned to the wall.
But that... And also, I don't want to say,
I will admit, in that shot, it does look like it would be going straight through his heart on that one, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm willing to accept that there's a degree of, like, you're allowed a bit of, like, inconsistency from the practice of just, like, filming, right? Like,
yeah, they didn't actually send a spike through the actor.
Yeah, yeah, so there's going to be, like, little bits of, like, I'm not going to be so pedantic as to say, oh, like, it's 2 centimeters here, so it's like, da, 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 right? Like, I'm willing to, like, give a bit of grace on the basis of, like, yeah, they've probably shot that, like, 30 times, and they're using the best shot, and obviously everything's not going to line up super perfectly to the millimeter, right? However, like, I'm going to get... So his zipper's moved down, as in, like, it's no longer choking him up. So it is definitely shot in a different scene, obviously, because it's But that's... but he's held back. He's got the thing in there, which is definitely in the rib cage. So at the very least, it's going to go through, and it will come out the back of his spine.
There is when you get down to the bottom of the sternum, there is a big gap. There's a big gap where there's no ribs in the middle.
There's a big gap where there's no ribs. But I think it's like, I would say it's above this. I would say
we're all poking ourselves in the abdomen.
Right. And at the very least, now I know you're saying, look, you know, when you're being pinned up, he's going to be jostled around a bit. The line of the zip isn't necessarily going to be like the central line of his body, right? That I totally understand. However, like from a storytelling point of view, like it does seem like it's like, oh, it's down the middle of his zip. That's almost like an indicator that it is in his central line.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so this is a very uncomfortable seating position, by the way.
Well, you can get up now. I think everybody's seen it.
Don't hurt yourself for this. So I think, yeah, like, it's like TikTok. Okay,
well,
so...
I'll use my background to show what I think of your argument.
Your Honour. Well, it's...
I definitely think it can... Yeah, you can... I mean, we accept that in the show, it missed all his vital organs, and or it hit some, and but they can deal with it with their science. But yeah, I mean, it does look. I admit
it's
that
the spine.
Looks.
It's the spine as well. Like if it is going through, like the spine is quite big.
I think that's easier to like. It's they're not going to shoot perfectly straight through him. It's that yeah. The fact that
so you're suggesting
it'd only have to be at a slight angle to.
Like, but that's a slight angle to dodge this. But then you've got the ribs on the back of this, like, that come out of the spine.
I mean, I will say one thing for sure. It's going to hurt.
Yes. And also, like, how big is that? Would you say that's, like, an inch in diameter?
It's pretty thick, yeah.
Pretty thick, 3/4 inch?
Yeah.
2 centimeters? You know, like that.
It's some kind of, like, mining spike, right, is what I'm assuming. Yeah. Something they use in that, yeah.
Like a rail, like their equivalent, like a rail gun or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's gonna hit like two ribs, right? That's gonna
yeah, yeah.
You know, your ribs aren't that far apart, right? Like, you know, even if you had something like I got this fountain pen here that you can't see.
How committed are you? Are you going to actually?
Whoa, magic! I had a dream last night about 2 weasels in a bag, but I don't know if that's relevant.
Hang on, you really did?
Yeah,
2 weasels in a bag.
2 weasels in a bag. And love for it. Some reason, I had bought them from one shady person, and I was to sell them on at a profit. But they were in like a rucksack or something. These 2 weasels.
Weasel.
So you had a dream you were in Last of the Summer Wine.
Possibly, yeah, yeah. Then we were in a wheelbarrow sliding down the hill.
You do know that the logical conclusion of us collaborating together is us eventually going down a hill in a bathtub.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Probably in your case, stairs, I think. If
yeah, 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 yeah.
But, So that's a reference that only like two people are going to get.
I know, it's like only older British people are going to get that reference at all.
Yeah. I haven't seen that for years. It might be awful. It probably is awful, isn't it?
I was never... In our house, it was one of those things where the theme tune comes on. It's all switch channel.
Yeah, I was never that into myself. There's a couple of shows that are meant to be comedy that I feel are just like really fucking depressing. Yeah. And Steptoe and Son is another one. I get the comedy, but the setting of it is just too fucking...
I think it's incredibly good comedy. It's very fucking funny. It's very incredibly well written, but I can't watch it. It's just grindingly depressing.
Yeah, it's just this is life in Britain.
And actually, we were going to do that in Carry On Screaming. There was a little Steptoe and Son reference, wasn't there? Because it was the same actor.
Yeah.
And they do 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 do.
Yeah, they did a little bit of that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Do you know where this alleged propaganda film?
Oh, sorry, reel. Shouldn't have mentioned reels.
It's when Miller meets what's his face, OPA dude in the bar or whatever.
When he meets Anderson Dawes. Yep, Anderson Dawes shows him the. It's already been shown in like the same way that the Canterbury video was shown. It's like being broadcast, but he had the Anderson Dawes had like the handheld cam. Copy of it, sort of thing.
That was where Julie Mao pushed had the fight at the dock.
Oh, you're right. In the police station then with the chief.
That's it. You. That's when you get the clear view. That's when you get the clearest view.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
I know. Just for Hamish, I'm going to ask you to change your t-shirt. We're going to get demonetized, I'm afraid, with rude words on your t-shirt. Demonetized on your own page.
Yeah. Don't worry. I don't make any money. that's one of the reasons. Let's not even get into that.
It's why you're dealing weasels in your dreams.
That's why I'm dealing weasels, man. Two weasels. It's very specific, and they were in like a. It's like a thin rucksack thing. And for some reason, I'd bought them like that from one dealer, and then I'd to go to the other dealer who had a cage, and I was to like let them out in the cage. But very bizarre. They can't say the rude words really because of the OPA flag, to be honest. So
that's good.
Oh, okay.
Unless I go up the way like that.
Oh my god, it says jizz as well.
It's wank puffing. It's wearing off a lot. I think it was.
Oh, hang on. Look what's just happened. Chris put a picture up and then immediately positions himself so we don't see the Asian dude.
Oh, no, it's his anti-Chinese bias coming out again.
Erasure.
Oh, okay, so.
Okay, here we go. This is the other angle.
Come on, I'm trying my best.
But you're only getting a side view this time, really.
That looks lower again. That does look lower,
yeah. But it looks like the zip is much lower as well.
Yeah. I don't think
plus
this
Chris
really
is capturing
happened.
A frame here when really, you know, you need to see the movement. I really think Chris should spend the rest of the week making a 3D wireframe model of all this.
I mean, is there something?
Ultimately, I know we're having fun. Okay, we're having a laugh, but let's be serious. Let's be serious here. We've hit on this a bit already.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of what the writer says to says to Wes Chatham. Actually, is like, yeah, it might look like that, but that's not what happened. Essentially, yeah, right. It's like this is all the film. You know, it's not meant to be viewed like the Subruder film. You know,
so even if it isn't depicted as being that high, like in reality, maybe we're just going to say it hit his stomach.
Well, I don't know where it's meant to be. But you're still right about when it comes out the back somewhere, it's going to hit his.
Hitting the stomach would be very bad because all the acid comes out. And
it's definitely high on that. Well, when you see him in the hospital, they remove the the magic plastic bandage healing light Iron Man looking thing to check his wound. So if you find that, you'll get the picture of where they say it got went in. I forgot that. I was just thinking, oh, wait a minute, there's an answer to this.
Okay, all right. Yes, there is. Okay, so content warning.
We're going to end up with five different positions. One's going to end up with his leg.
Okay, this is a little bit gory. So if you're of a, not too gory, but like if you're of a nervous disposition,
Why are you watching us?
Apologies for anybody who's been pinned to a wall with a spike.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Jesus is watching.
Yeah, if you've been crucified. Okay. They do actually say that. They tried to crucify him, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, okay, right.
I mean, that's well below the ribs, isn't it? Yeah.
Is this
the bottom of his rib cage?
Mm.
I mean, it's in the gap between the ribs under the sternum.
I think that looks like it's actually in his sternum, personally.
The bottom of it, maybe.
Anyway,
there might be another zoom out if we really want to.
I should have left it there, shouldn't I? I should have let this move on.
Yeah, you know, actually, because there's another. Okay, this is the last one. I won't. But I think actually this
brought to you by Oliver Stone.
I think this might be the one that proves Drew is right. Actually,
don't do that.
Actually, I think I might actually. Okay, right. So she is putting the dressing on, and that's very low down.
That's like his belly at that point. Yeah.
So that might be. So it's definitely inconsistent. So is it the grassy knoll? Is it the book repository? Well,
you know, I shouldn't encourage this to continue. But if you want to be a bit nerdy about something else of a similar nature, if you watch The Thick of It, series 4, when Ollie Reader is in hospital, he's meant to have his appendix removed. But where he's sore changes sides because he just acted at one side to start with. And then everybody's like, your appendix is on the other side. So he acted it like that side for a while. And then when he's out and walking about again in his suit, he's kind of like, you know, on the wrong side again. So it's like, if you watch that and, I mean, I noticed it, but I just assumed it was that kind of thing. But if you watch it with the commentary, you'll also get them talking about that a little bit, you know, explaining why it changed back again.
So I think it's almost like it's one and a half, almost. It's like,
I'd say one and a half, yeah.
It depends on the.
No, that's a regulation handspan.
Well, if I put my pinky on the bottom of my sternum.
It's a British handspan, obviously. The American one is different.
I can almost touch the top of my ribs. I'm only like one thumb joint away from flesh.
How many Westides?
But that could be as low as his intestine. So,
did you know, by the way, that an American tablespoon is smaller than ours?
Oh,
all right. How much is
the American tablespoon? Don't tell Paul. Paul, you know, Paul, my friend Paul the nerd
from
Northern Ireland. He gets really upset about certain measurements, like cups and all that. But they're all vague approximations anyway. But you know, still, I didn't know that a tablespoon was different. No.
Well, the problem with that is that Danny 15 mil, isn't it? Danny sent me her cookie mix with a recipe, and I followed it, and I was using American... There's already a lot of sugar in it because it's an American recipe. But I was going by, like, American tablespoons. Or no, I was doing British tablespoons. These cookies were insanely sweet.
Oh, right. So
it's a big difference. It's not just the difference between 20...
No, it's not a huge difference, but when, you know, it adds up.
Yeah. If you put in several tablespoons... Well, a tablespoon is 15 milliliter. That's another thing. Yeah. Is these recipes mix volume and weight,
volume,
and stuff.
Volume, weight, and something else? Isn't
Yeah. I mean, it's just vibes, isn't it? Cooking is vibes.
Well, cooking. Oh, can be
sorry, wait a minute. You know, this is only going on PeerTube, not on one of the young people's.
It is right. Like as long as
cooking, yes, but baking you've got a bit of leeway if you know what you're doing, but if you don't know what you're doing,
it's the ratios that matter, not the exact measurements.
Yeah. Well, they say that cooking is an art and baking is a science, right? That's the.
Makes sense.
The slogan of it.
We've been doing science here. So.
Yeah, hard science here.
Hard science.
Now on to the real controversy. Okay. Is the Sid Meier's Pirates boarding?
Again, check out the comments.
Yeah, and also check out the comments because Drew's linked to a video of... You linked to the video of the...
They're both on YouTube, which again, obviously.
How to get women.
Also... I liked the name of the episode, Back to the Butcher, which is, of course, Back to the Future, reference to Back to the Future.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
I didn't think of that either,
no. Oh, yeah, because it's like, and, but also because they got a flashback. So it's Back to the Butcher.
Well, they're going from where they are back. They're going back to the butcher, and you know.
Yeah, we go back.
No, I thought it was a reference to Vin Diesel's back to Butcher Bay.
Back to Butcher Bay. No, it's they.
What's the film? Yeah, what's the film called? With the alien, Vin Diesel and Alien.
It's not Kindergarten Cop, is it?
Riddick, the Riddick ones.
Riddick, oh, the Riddick ones, right. Pitch Black, is that it?
Pitch Black, that's the, yeah. And then there was the game, oh, it's a, yeah, the game, Escape from Butcher Bay, which is a very good game. It's a very Deus Ex-style game.
So we have our first flashback in this episode, don't we?
Not first, I don't think, but it is a flashback.
Oh, second flashback, yeah. We got Holden's flashback with his... widowee,
ex-girlfriend.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think that was more of a dream, though. I call that.
I think he woke up from that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, see, dreams and flashbacks are two devices I'm not too fond of. Now they didn't labour this one too much, so it didn't really.
Well, it kind of extends for the entire episode.
Yeah, it's like bits of it all through the episode.
It feels more like two timelines rather than a flashback as such.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice for them to. I mean, basically, what they're doing is they're introducing Fred Johnson's past. And you know, you've got the dots get connected obviously in the next few episodes.
They do need to do that so that you get why certain people act towards Fred Johnson in the way that they do.
Yeah, it's context for Fred Johnson, but
the context is useful and stuff. I don't know if I'd, I don't know if I'd have preferred it in a different way, but it doesn't really.
Yeah, it's quite a long thing, but I think it builds up nicely, and it does the thing that Expanse does of introducing characters and making them real. And three-dimensional,
Yeah. You get that whole before we meet him in the story. You get all of that backstory, and then we.
No, that
doesn't even come in this episode, does it?
Well,
also, we met him briefly, and when he was talking to the Mormon guy and commandeering the.
I mean the crew before the crew.
Oh, sorry. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So with this, like,
one thread at a time before I start jumping.
Yeah, when I first watched this episode, I missed the 11 years earlier subtitle.
Yeah, so, it only comes up once, but it is also shown as a sort of jittery video.
However, so yeah, it, because it looked like a jittery video, it looked separate from the rest of the story. So I'll give it that. And to be honest, yes, like it didn't really, like, it still portrayed the message that it needed to portray, even though I didn't clock the 11 years earlier, to be honest. It contextualized well. I mean, I'm glad I watched it again, but I don't know, like, so okay, right. So Fred Johnson is the US Marine that basically blows up the protesters. They're obviously not actual terrorists, but they have been sort of like tarred as terrorists, and that used as an excuse to just discard them, right?
Yeah, which is, I mean, you know,
exactly what's happening at the moment in this one.
Bang on,
a bit toe on the nose,
But there's nothing even remotely terrorist. They're just people who work in a place who were complaining.
It was a labor dispute. That's the phrase.
I mean, a very serious labor dispute.
Yeah, people are getting, or their children are getting, they're suffering. Peanuts, stop annoying me. It's late.
Has he got an opinion? Has he got a CSI opinion?
No, I think he's just trying to. He just wants to play. He's had a funny day of weird things happening.
Now this is kind of interesting because the flashback itself ties in with a few things with the with the hang on a minute, I've got it. The Spanish named ship.
Rocinante? Rocinante?
Rocinante, that's it. Yeah.
Which is we mentioned before, that's Don Quixote's horse, which is, you know, again, another very on the nose thing for Holden.
Right, okay. I don't know who that is.
Don Quixote. It's a story called Don Quixote.
By Cervantes?
Yeah.
The knight, the foolish knight who tilts at windmills, and when we say somebody's quixotic, it's like they like Don Quixote. They want to be a hero. They will always do the heroic, brave thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. I get you. Yeah. Okay.
Chris isn't into cliches either. That's why he didn't know that one.
You'll see, get the Back to the Future reference, but not Don Quixote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Back to the Future.
I'd expect you to be more well read than this, Chris, really, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I haven't read it.
Let's pause this. Chris, quick, go and read Don Quixote. And then...
And you have to read the original Spanish version first, you know. Then you're allowed to come back to us.
Okay, so.
Pretty good. It's worth a read. It's a good book.
Okay. So,
Rocinante, get used to that, because the Rocinante comes up Rocinante, a lot now, Rocinante, you know.
Rocinante, yeah. Right.
Or the Rossi. La Rossi, as they call Rossi. It. La Rossi.
Okay, so...
I like it when Amos says, yeah, no, I knew a woman called Rocinante.
Yeah, I knew. What was it? Yeah. I can't remember what he says. He says there's a woman, she was really nice to me. I think he does say she was a prostitute or something at first, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it's quite a name for a
prostitute workhorse.
I mean,
well,
again, a bit on the nose, as it is.
Maybe he didn't go to one of the classy places. Maybe.
I was going to say something that might have been a bit spoiler. Oh, no, it's not spoiler. Yeah. It's already come up that he's. No, it's not.
It's not come up.
Right, okay.
Okay.
But
that felt like it was a little bit like that was like a moment, right? I guess what
you
it's like a christening almost, you know,
definitely. They make a big scene of renaming the ship.
There is an extent to which, like, this is, you know, in a sense, every sci-fi TV show is like in some way related to Star Trek, right? This is where they get their ship and they name it, and that is, you know, the ship is important in these shows, and they are a crew with a ship now.
A very nice ship, it seems.
Cool ship.
Like, Naomi is like saying there's nothing to fix. Like, what it?
Yeah, I love that Naomi hates it, because there's nothing to fix.
Can't fix anything.
Yeah.
It's us with the Linux distros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing to sink in.
But Naomi, obviously, do we want to go chronological, or do we just want to run with this thread?
Because one thread at a time, usually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we should go back to. Well, no, we've already jumped.
All right. So Naomi seems to know people like Fred Johnson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't like people like Fred Johnson.
She says, like, I've known him, people like him before, people with a cause. She doesn't like people who have a cause.
But she was very adamant about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that was a cover for, like, maybe she's, you know,
you don't think she was being honest?
No.
You think she's covering, like that's an excuse to, that's interesting.
Like, she knows him, but she's not telling us she knows him. But the fact that you were like...
Well, he's quite infamous in the Belt.
Yeah, he is quite infamous.
The butcher.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yesterday...
Anderson Station.
You were just saying, like, oh, we just as a small company. He's just like,
And then, I didn't say it was a small company. I mean, it's a...
Well, no, you're asking about his company specifically, and that's true of his company. He is also, and I don't know, he's also an OPA faction leader.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm assuming that's not a particularly like prestigious position.
Well, it is within the
Belt. Within the OPA, but like
not externally, like Earth wouldn't care. Yeah.
Yeah, Earth wouldn't care, right? But she says, Naomi says, or no, it's not Naomi that says, it's someone says it might, people can change. It's like, oh, we're not going with this guy who is offering what seems to be like an olive branch with some maybe conditions or with some some caution. And it's like, maybe he is like, okay, these guys probably okay, but you know, since they're flying incognito mode, then he's like, look, if you were really that much of a threat, you'd be out there, you know, puffing your chest out. But you know, you're obviously a bit incognito, so you're probably relatively harmless. Do you want to
also got to remember Fred used the Naboo sensors, so he probably knows at least roughly what went on with the Doniger. So he knows that this ship escaped from the Doniger, and he just wants more information about that. Yeah,
more information. Like he wants, like this politically, there's a lot to gain from harboring some of the most infamous people on the current news cycle, right? Like James Holden.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that's who it is at the moment, you know.
That's true.
In the last episode, you saw a graffiti artist do a vroom, vroom, vroom,
vroom. Yeah, but that's from the Remember the Cant video. That's from the first broadcast.
Yeah, that's from Remember the Cant. But what's the face that's part of that graffiti?
That's Holden.
So even a couple of episodes ago, that's like two episodes ago, that's where...
But we don't know that's who's on the...
Fred doesn't know who's on the ship.
We knew, so assuming we're in this world, we know that it was James Holden who broadcast from the night.
Yeah, but we don't know that's the last contact anybody has with Holden is the
night. We don't know the night apart from the Martians, obviously. Doniger are connected. Fred Johnson wouldn't know that the Doniger captured the night and that Holden was on board and he was the one who escaped in the Rosinante.
Okay. I don't know the capacity for this. I don't know what this Mormon ship is capable of, really. You know, like, what you've said makes sense for me to believe what you just said.
Yeah, Fred doesn't know who's on the ship at all. I mean, even if he knew, because remember the sensor thing that he did was after they'd been captured. So all anybody knows, I mean, it's not just Fred, all that anybody knows outside of the immediate space is that the knight escaped, and the knight was about to be picked up by Martians.
That's the point.
And so then that's in the message. And they found it's the Doniger. So all that Fred's doing is pointing his sensors in exactly the right direction to try and get as much information as he can out of the situation.
Now, I'm assuming that when the Doniger was scuttled, there was like some kind of SOS call of types, you know, so that the rest of the Martian fleet would know that it was scuttled, right? Presumably?
I assume the Doniger would signal their command that they're going to self-destruct, but that would be encrypted, I would think. That wouldn't necessarily...
Yeah, that would be a broad thing. Yeah. That would be a narrow
band. That would be public message. Knowledge, but it might be Martian knowledge. It presumably is Martian knowledge.
Yeah, the Martians will know they've lost the ship,
Yeah, but and presumably they'll know that something went down and it was scuttled.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I don't know if we know, like, the capabilities of getting messages out fast, because it was all over pretty quickly.
I think we'd have to assume like a space navy would have means of communicating back to command, and that they would the command would have known what was going on.
Yeah, they would have had some sort of thing. But remember, they were getting jammed though as well, so
they were. Yeah,
but they also what they do is they use a thing called a narrow beam communication to try and which is harder to jam. No, the narrow's easier to jam, but the broad's harder to jam, sorry.
But they were also the captain of the Doniger also wanted to get like the technical readouts of the ships that attacked them out. So they wouldn't have we know that they weren't broadcast because why else would she be trying to get them?
So she was trying to get
tactical information.
Tactical information away with her first officer or whatever he was. Lopez.
Yeah, with Lopez. I really like Lopez. I hope he survives. But
I like Lopez.
Have you not seen the episode?
Yes, I have seen the episode, and he gets put into a freezer bag.
Oh no, that's a body bag.
That's a body bag. Oh, mate. Sorry.
I was worried it might be a body bag.
Also, they do talk about them having a body of a Martian on board.
They do, but like, I don't know what the space.
We have bodies. I have a body. We could.
Yeah.
But no, he's dead. Yeah.
Because I thought it might be in the case that when it freezes, you know, when it goes white over the thing, I thought, oh, is it like, well, he's probably in critical condition, ergo.
No, he didn't have a spike through his chest. He's dead.
Oh. If he'd had a spike through his chest, he would have been fine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, was it just the bullets? Was it just the gunfire?
Yeah, he got shot a lot, yeah. Yeah. And there was an explosion as well. He got shrapnel, probably got shrapnel and shock damage.
Oh, that sucks. I like
it. It wasn't in a very good state by the time we got him there. Yeah, he was good.
It was cool.
Yeah. Also, during on the Rosanti?
Rosananti.
I can't read my own handwriting because I'm doing it right. Ross and
with a C. Rocinante.
Okay, so he sits him up in a balloon. So he's going to have some kind of mini Martian burial.
Well, he's kept in a body bag on the ship. Yeah.
Yeah. So
at the moment.
So what else happens on the? Not Tashi anymore. Now the Rosanti.
Rosananti.
I'll get there eventually, I promise. Also,
well, we've Holden heard it a lot more than you have, you know, because it's.
Yeah.
Holden and Amos have a bit of a connection in this episode.
Mm.
So when they're talking about Fred Johnson and he puts his proposal forward, you can tell that Amos is like, look, I'm going to back Naomi because in my experience, she's always done the right thing for the right reason. And in this, but usually I can work it out. But in this particular instance, this is like a little bit like, you know, beyond his understanding. So he has a chat with her and we don't see a lot of that chat, right?
Well, we see the start of it. I suppose it doesn't really have to come very much after that. But yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise that he then comes back and says, right, we're going to see Fred, got to go take Fred Johnson's offer.
Yeah. But is basically the crux of the argument, it's the best shot we've got.
It seems like it, yeah.
If we get picked up by...
I think Amos, like you said, he follows Naomi's lead because she generally does the right thing, but... Amos couldn't see how this was the right thing, and he thinks Naomi's being a bit irrational. Has a little chat with her, and she sort of concedes that she's being irrational. I guess, I mean, she's still not happy about it.
No, well,
can,
I mean, it's
can
like
I, go back a little bit onto something. I feel like we've kind of glossed over something a little bit. Mm-hmm. The renaming of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it than just renaming the ship.
No, yeah,
and there's a bit of tension around all of that that we kind of, we didn't really mention. And the fact is that the transponder of a ship is a difficult thing to change. It's for good reasons, you know, especially if you're out in space, you know.
And I think they say that like a civilian ship, it just wouldn't allow you to do it. It would.
Naomi says a civilian. If it's a civilian ship, and you mess with the transponder, the whole thing will just like melt it. You know, it just melt it. The whole thing will just get ruined, and that'll be, that'll be broadcasting, you know, a ruined transponder to people. But she says that this one on the Rosananti, or well, it's still a Tashi at that point. But she says this one will just, you know, they'll just zap the whole ship. They'll just go, they'll just get vaporized.
But it does have a means for, because it's a military ship, sometimes you want to pretend to be something that you're not. So there is.
I think also there must be a way to set it. You know, if something can be set, it can be reset.
Yeah. It's a pretty high grade. It's a top.
Yeah, and also I just thought another little point I thought I'd mention just on that we skipped past on this from this scene is that once he puts the name in Rosananti and puts it in, there's then a confirmation screen, and he goes to push the button to say yeah, confirm, but then he sort of lets Naomi do it. And I'm not sure if that's there's kind of two ways you could read that. One is like, oh, sorry, you're the engineer, you're not getting much to do here, do your thing, because she was moaning about not having much to do. and she's the ex. She's reading the instructions that Fred sent and what have you. Or it could be like, I don't think I want to do this. If this is going to zap us all, you know, just you check it. You try and push the button.
I sort of recognize that as a gesture that he's not like that. He's not taking the hard line as being a captain. Like he is sharing.
Yeah, no, but that's what I remember. The first comment was little bit sort of like, oh, you're the engineer. Yeah. You're following the instructions.
He's in the captain role. He's the leader ish. But I mean, it's more like the leader on a pirate ship. He's the leader, but it's somewhat democratic. I mean, obviously they voted on where they should go. But it's like you're the engineer. The ship is yours. The physicality of the ship is yours.
So it's a coming together moment. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And there was a lot of coming together moments. And I think I was expecting that because you were saying that the last four episodes were a prologue.
This is a sort of the big bonding where a lot of the tensions that flared up when they were being interrogated and then get put back together and stuff resolve over these two episodes, last episode and this one.
I think they also recognize sort of almost how lucky they are to be in the position they're in, but also how trepidatious it is.
Precarious,
yeah. To be like politically in this, it's like, look, you know, they're the only people that know what happened, and that's really important. Yeah. And also, there's going to be a lot of people out there that aren't going to believe them on the face of it. Mm-hmm. There are going to be a lot of people that interpret what happened politically without necessarily consulting the facts. They're just going to be like, people are going to use it to reinforce their own biases in a lot of circumstances. Yeah. So as we see,
everybody's going to be wanting to use them.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a little solidarity moment, which I really like. And even with Alex as well.
They didn't go with what is it, Screaming Firehawk? Or
Alex gets very excited about the ship, doesn't he? He stays excited about it. He loves the ship. He's really pleased that instead of flying buses, he's flying a combat ship.
And this is I think Chris asked a moment ago before we sidetracked. Aside from the stealth ships that we've seen, putting those aside. The ship that they've got now is like the state of the art high tech warship. Like this is the pinnacle of
It seems to be like an AI and everything because Naomi goes up to up to the computer and it shows her some engineering stuff and she goes, you know, I'm an engineer. You know, it is on it is printed on her jumpsuit, engineer.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's important or not, but it's just because you've got engineer and then pure and clean, pure and clean on the other side.
Yeah,
I love how long they keep wearing those pure and clean jumps. I swear they're still wearing.
What you're wearing, you know, you're they're,
yeah, no, they, absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's what they were wearing when they left for the mission that they went on. And so you know,
actually, they kind of look all right. Like,
oh, they're cool. Yeah,
they look quality. Like they look like quality workwear, to be honest.
Yeah,
which
I know that like because. Obviously, this show cost a lot, but they sort of cut a lot of corners by rather than designing everything bespoke, they got a lot of things off the shelf, like the cups that we see because Holden falls in love with the coffee machine. I love that moment.
There's no beans anywhere at first. He's like,
the cups on the Rocinante, those kind of space. They do look very spacey, but they're just off Amazon. You can buy them. Yeah, not because of the show. Like the show, they were like, they'll do off Amazon, beautiful.
Yeah, they just bulk buy something that you're going to reuse on the show.
They're not even expensive. They're cheap ones. Hex sent me one for my birthday. It's kicking around somewhere.
I'm just looking at trying to find that scene where he does get all excited about the coffee because I did a frame by frame analysis of what was in the cupboards.
Oh, I can tell you that just from observation. Tofu. Oh, I forgot what was in the other one. There was purified water or something like that in one of them. You've got the frame by frame in your special.
I've got the frame by frame, so I can. Tofu was one of them. Virtual backgrounds. Okay, so I got this one here. So this is
going to be a thing now, isn't it? You're going to be
We got, is this mirrored, or can you read that?
We can read it, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Tofu,
yeah.
So
that's just the tofu cupboard, right? And it's all just obviously...
Of course, that's where you keep in a cupboard, one cupboard for tofu.
See, what is kind of interesting that I did find about all of this, so he goes into the tofu cupboard, then he goes into the... Right, now you can work out, even though you can't see the whole full labels, you can work out what else is in the other one, mm-hmm. Which is not coffee, unfortunately.
Nope.
Now, I don't know if you can see that. Can you see that?
His arms there.
His arms sort of there, but it's also like out of shot there. Can I? Oh,
if you move over and put your head down.
Okay.
It's not moving. It's not moving.
All right. So you'll just have to take my word for it that it's nuts and minerals.
I thought it was mineral water. Maybe that's where I was getting that from.
Like, it could be. It's M-I-N-E-R. And I thought, so it could be mineral water. But interestingly enough, Alex is watching with, I think it's Amos later on, watching a news, I think it's a news broadcast or a broadcast of something.
Yeah, it's the broadcast where they're watching... it's like a news report from you got, if you, a lot of the things that you see more than once in videos and stuff, you'll, you, if you pay attention, there's actually a bit of a commentary whenever it's the news report, as if somebody other than the belters is commenting on it, you know. It's like almost the Earth or Mars kind of
spin on it.
Spin is being the operative word. It's not just like dispassionate report.
Unbiased or
It's not just a dispassionate report. It's got a spin on it.
A point of view.
A point of view.
Yeah. So we've got also here with Alex. This says I don't know what that.
Oh my god! I never noticed that one.
Hydration. Something hydration. So. Which is probably just like water, fizzy water or something.
Some or
kind of
drink, fruit juice or something.
Yeah, fruit juice. Yeah, he's just drinking his little Ribena. His little
Capri. Ribena.
Well, that's probably what those things are. Or just bulk bought packaging and they just print the labels.
I mean, I know that like it's not great for like plastic waste or whatever, but... I would be happy with Capri Sun on a voyage. I mean, certainly after what these guys have been through, you know.
You want to hear? You want to shove Capri Sun?
What they called? What are those little triangular lolly things, like sun lollies or something? Oh, triangular.
They're good. They are. Yeah.
Sun lollies.
That's gonna annoy me.
They're in little not pyramidal.
Calippo.
No. I was thinking of the little almost pyramidal ones that you bought home, you put in the freezer.
No, you're thinking of
Calypsos were long, like a full on cock that you would, you know, get down your throat.
Yeah.
Right. That's not Calippo then. Okay.
And they were called sun. I think they were sun lollies.
Sun lollies.
Sun lollies UK. Okay.
Yeah, that's them. Yeah. Some lollies.
This is crazy. We go. Oh, right. No, that's not what. I don't really know them then.
You know them? They were big in the 80s.
The orange one. I suppose the orange one looks vaguely.
Yeah, I only had the orange ones when I was here.
And also just
kind of slimy in a pleasant way.
They melted in a sort of. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not like it's not like a nice pool.
Not icy, not like slushy.
It's kind of like got a syrupiness. That's syrup.
So also not to switch threads too soon, but also we've got Miller here eating
noodles,
but we don't know what kind of noodles, right? So I wrote down in my notes.
Oh my god, is he going to say? Have you right? And here's a close up of the menu, and I've used advanced technology to enhance the menu image and
zoom and enhance. Yeah,
zoom and enhance.
Because I wrote, tofu, nuts, minerals, but that could very well just as easily be minerals.
We're going to get into problems if Chris sees a unicorn. Blade Runner deep cut.
Right. Is everyone in the future vegan? because now those might be egg noodles or they might just be.
Well, you out in the belt, mostly yes, because where are you going to store the animals?
When you get meat, yeah, when you go rear meat. But there is a scene later on, and there's a bit of a spoiler. It's a great scene that features cheese, or at least talk of cheese.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. That's interesting. Real
cheese.
That, yeah.
Real so,
another bonding. It's not a spoiler really, because it's just another bonding time. You know?
It's great scene.
They're fondly remembering.
Can you tip
cheese.
Your camera at all, Drew? Because you've done that thing where you're literally no, I meant horizontally.
Oh,
you're like
you're below the you're almost below the flag there. Oh, that's brilliant. That's excellent. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, we can see you above the flag now.
Give me tats now.
So, I'll put back one of the other stills that I have just to indicate that I'm still thinking about the
spike.
No, don't you dare move on, Chris. We haven't even determined what kind of noodles they are.
Yeah, we didn't know what noodles were.
They look.
I think they're udon.
Well. They could be udon. If they're udon, then they're vegan. But if they're egg noodles, then they're obviously not vegan. So
yeah, but again, eggs are. Well, we do see the occasional bit of small livestock in the belters' lives.
Do we?
I think we see a chicken at some point. I feel like we
do.
Oh,
that's probably much later.
At the docks,
right?
Though, you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure already we might have seen. But then maybe that's, you know, maybe that's just my...
I mean, you could conceive of... I mean, chickens will eat fucking anything, so you could conceivably keep chickens on a... Oh, and they'd be so happy because on the low G, they could probably fly a little bit.
They'd be like, flop. Oh, this is all right.
So look, we never mentioned it, but the low G, but like right on episode one or two, the low G bird, the sparrow hovering outside of Miller's, like, I'm an idiot. The first time I watched it, I was like, that's terrible CGI. That is not how birds fly. And then I was like, oh, it's low G.
It's in low G.
Low G. Yeah.
When we get to artificial animals again, I'm going to, there's going to be a little thing, but carry on.
So I don't know if this is a spoiler question to ask, but.
What flavor are the noodles?
Are they. Why are there animals on series like? Do you say a pigeon or what was flying? A bird.
A sparrow.
Like unless a sparrow like hopped aboard a spaceship or something.
That might be intentional. Just for the aesthetics. Like,
I think it's a robot because remember the. Well, this is what you say. The hamster.
I read that as a real. You might be. I mean, the bird is important.
I'm sure the little girl throws it up or something. As if it's.
Landed on her finger. I thought. Because I was thinking either for aesthetics or for a biodiversity thing to keep the plants healthy.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm. So anyway, so back on the Rosinante.
Hey,
the,
you got the name right.
Yay. So there's a lot of talk about Fred Johnson, can you trust him? And then you find out at the end of the episode that he is responsible for blowing up the Andes.
I mean, it's a crime against humanity, right? It's a war crime, I would guess. Yeah, he killed.
Yeah.
The UN knowingly killed civilians without.
But I think it's worth noting that once you know things later, there's a few things. If you watch it again, you might pick up that you may not have. Without, you know, in hindsight, there's a few things that are sort of clues to some other things. And also, the first time you hear it, you don't really realise it's Fred's voice. It's not until the very end.
Mm. Yeah.
But when you're rewatching, you go, oh, that's the guy who plays Fred.
When we get to the end of the series, I'll do a full rewatch to see where things connect a little bit better. But the bit so a lot like a little bit of the almost like a theme of the episode is can you trust Fred Johnson? And this episode, I mean, it is about Fred Johnson because he is the butcher of Anderson Station. Is that what they call him?
That's it, yeah.
They even subtitle him. You know, they give him a byline in the show, people even like? I don't even think. Like, has anyone else got a byline?
Like an epithet. Not that we know of so far, I don't think.
Colonel, because he's a colonel, isn't he?
He's a UN Marine Colonel.
Yeah, Colonel Fred Johnson, United Nations Marine Corps.
Yeah, this might be what Hamish was referring to, and if it is, tell me, shut up. But yeah, I mean, it's that there's information in the fact that he's clearly not with the UN anymore. He is, you know.
Well, this is it. They were talking about, and also one of the things I actually really do like about it is how they did it. Like they didn't sensationalize it. It was one of those things where the less you show, the more your brain fills in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all you see is the sort of the frozen,
the bodies
freezing away. Like that's
it's that father with his daughter in his arms, which is like that's cracking.
And then Fred's just watching them all float.
Yeah,
he's standing in the airlock. Just outside his ear at the airlock, watching them all.
Yeah, and he's like, I mean, I'm to read that he's in sort of not shock. Is he like in a kind of shock or a kind of
possibly,
like
possibly? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh you, my God, you don't get the sense that he's looking at that and going, "Yep, job well done."
Yeah, he's not going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm not sure if from that he's meant to have been at the airlock because he's got a rifle, isn't he? And I'm not sure if he's meant to have shot some sort of important bit of equipment. Because remember, he says that the station, they don't blow up the station. He says something, I can't remember the exact wording of it now, but he says something along the lines of the terrorists have been cleared out of the station. You know, it's like as if they've tried to keep the station intact as much as possible. You know, it's the people they were after sort of thing.
His hands are like, right, like, I mean, I'll put the still for that up, but it's like, to me, it looks very much like he's in a sort of almost a state of disbelief or reflection or some kind of shock. Like, you know, oh my God, what have I done? That's kind of
the thing. That's
now fair. I could be wrong, but he doesn't.
Sorry, like, you've just said two lines in the last 30 seconds or in the last 10 seconds out of Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads.
This is not my beautiful wife.
No, that's a marine. Yeah, he's got a rifle. Yeah, so he's got a rifle. And I'm wondering if he's meant to have like shot at some safety gear.
You might well be right. I just interpreted that as like he's a marine, so he carries a gun with him most of the time.
Yeah, why is he out in the airlock? You know, other than maybe he came out
to have a look, is what I.
Yeah, I suppose it's.
But yours might be right. It's interesting.
I mean, in my head, and this probably isn't what happened, is that I interpreted it as like. He might have been like, so when they like drop a bomb or something, they'll get like, you know, they can get like a this is probably like really old now, they probably do it with drones and stuff without even thinking about it, but like there used to be this thing that I saw on in like films and games and stuff where if they were going to drop a bomb on something, they'd get someone to go up and they do a laser
point.
Paint the target, they call it,
paint the target, that's the one. And so he might have been, for all that's sort of almost what I was thinking.
Maybe he had a beam or something to show them.
Like this was probably quite some time after it blew up anyway, so like he had plenty of time to like suit up
and go back in.
So but like that to me is a stance of someone that is sort of realizing
he's not looking happy.
And who's the one that says like people can change? Is that Amos?
No, I think it's Holden that says it.
Is it Holden? Okay.
I think it's Alex. Holden. Yeah. Maybe Alex, but I'm pretty sure it's Holden.
It seems a bit assertive for Alex.
It does, yeah.
So they're almost spelling out the purpose of the episode in that dialogue.
Yeah.
It's like,
can
we trust
him? This is what we know about Fred. From years ago. How many years was it? 11?
11 years. So we know that he is complicit, if not leading. Well, a colonel leads, right? He's actually a colonel's really high rank. Like, so he probably not only.
He was in command of the mission. We know that.
Yeah, like he was.
And he was the one speaking to them on the radio.
Mm. Yeah. So he definitely. Like, he was the one that. Made the decision, certainly did everything below that point. So he certainly was not a good guy in that moment, and that is a like a war crime and over a labor dispute. So it's not even.
Well, I mean, we know Hamish and I know the answer to this, and it's just character stuff.
I'm trying to keep a
stony face
on this one.
Like, there's implied questions in what you're saying. We can answer them, or we can leave it for you to discover. I think it's probably better to leave this. It's not a huge thing, but yeah, I think you're better off discovering that for yourself.
It's character stuff about Fred, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't affect the plot as such. Well, best system.
That's not to say that you shouldn't absolutely raise this stuff. When we just go silent,
what you're thinking. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be thinking at this point. Everybody's thinking the same stuff.
Yeah. So he's at the moment, as it indicated in the last episode with the Mormon scene, he is a well-known OPA. Yeah, like he's well-known in being the OPA.
Belter.
Yeah, he's a faction leader. And... Tycho is out. He's the boss of Tycho, and the leader of Tycho Station. You know, the Tycho Station.
So he's not operating in secret. So
before I forget, one thing I mentioned in the last episode and had to look up: Tycho isn't a place after all. Well, Tycho Station's a place, but Tycho's the name. Tycho Brahe. Or Brach, however you say it, is a famous, you know, astronomer and stuff. But Tycho is the name of some craters, including one on the moon, I think, and that's where I thought the name. That's why I thought it was a body in the solar system. It was named for Tycho Brahe, but it's not.
Okay.
So Tycho Station is it's probably close to something else, a large asteroid or something, or a moon or something, but. The point is, it's a station. It's a.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Do carry on.
Is there anything else on the ship on the Rosinante that is? So he's known. Johnson's known as.
I just remembered a really funny line from the show. From the.
Go on, no, what is it?
It's the one about, do you want me to make your face look a bit different or something like that? What Amos says, change how your face looks for you or something.
Yeah, he realizes he's famous, doesn't he? So, Fred Johnson. He's publicly turncoat, as it were, right?
Yeah.
People in the inner planets, they all know who he is, where he is, and what he was. Previously, as in, he was a UN Marine.
Yeah, he's got a nickname, isn't he? So he's obviously, like, you know.
He's got a nickname, isn't he?
That makes it sound like something jolly. He's got a nickname, like Spudger, or, you know. No, the Butcher of Anderson Station is not... I'm not sure I call that a nickname as much as a notorious label.
Chris the War Criminal.
Yeah. All those Chinese people Chris killed, you know.
Chris Chinese Hater.
Genocidal Jeremy. So that's where we're left off with Brian Johnson. Is that look? He's a man with a horrible.
Fred Johnson.
What did I say? Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson. He's the singer from AC/DC.
Right. Yes, he is, isn't he?
Who is not, as far as we know, a war criminal.
No. Just for legal reasons.
As far as
we know, Brian Johnson of AC/DC is
a murderer.
Is not
no, he's alleged murderer and war criminal.
Yeah. So you just reminded me of something else from the thick of it. Is that? it's a bit of an aside, but it's funny now. So I'm going to say it. In the thick of it, there's one of the MPs. Puts up a personal blog, but one of the advisors is actually writing it. And they make the mistake of putting like a guest book page thing where people can leave comments. and there's loads of them. They're very funny. But one of the little insults he gets is something to do with cats. And you're like, what was that? And then later on, the spin doctor of their party has found out about this because they keep hiding the thing about the guest book, going, oh god, yeah, it's all going fine, yeah, yeah. But then later on, he's obviously sussed this and looked it all up and found out that. And he walks into the office and says, hello, you little cat rapist, you know. That's how he greets them to sort of let them know that he's discovered what they're trying to hide from him and give him a bit of an insult to. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Thick of it is such a good show.
Anybody who's not seen the thick of it?
This good.
Good watch the heck of it. It's amazing.
Yeah. So,
so Fred so, Johnson, not Brian. Fred Johnson. Fred.
Yeah. So yeah, man with a bad past. But where does he stand now? And also, just because he switched sides, does that necessarily mean he's a better man? You know, it could be he's still someone willing to blow up a space station just for different people at this point.
Possibly, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't have, yeah. I mean,
at this point is what we've seen of him, that he's interested in power. He wants to find, you know, he's manipulated his customers. Well, that's actually that's something we forgot to address in the last episode. I don't know if we didn't do it. We didn't address it, and I wonder if you just didn't think it was important or whatever. I don't suppose maybe might not. Point is that when we first meet Fred Johnson, or is it? Well, maybe it is in this episode. Oh God, now I'm starting. Now
I think it might be because I'm thinking there is something that we haven't addressed in the last episode. I'm just trying to remember what it is.
Yeah, because
we do meet Fred Johnson when he's talking to the Mormon
guy. Yeah, and we see him get a wee bit not threatening, but sort of veiled threats and stuff. You know? We've seen that side of him. That sort of he's got that sort of union boss vibe.
To be fair, that something that runs through this show is. If the Mormons get fucked over in any way, everybody's just like, well, that's the Mormons. Who cares?
Yeah, but that was we just kind of skipped that little bit of, he was talking to the Mormon guy. The Mormon guy says that our board or whatever, whoever's in charge of the budget for this ship thing, say that they want somebody else to replace Fred because of his ties with the OPA and stuff like that, and it's, you know, and then they say, but oh, you just carry on as you are for now, and he's like, right, okay, yeah, you're just telling me you're trying to sack me, but for now keep doing my job, you know.
Fred basically does the it'd be a shame if something's happened.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Just do that, it'd be a shame if something happened.
The thing I don't get about that is like, why hire Fred Johnson's company if you don't like OPA,
cost. Also remember, this is all coming from a committee of people. He talks about being a board or a committee or something along those
elders,
lines,
council of elders,
something like that. So whoever's pulling the purse strings is starting to get nervous about something.
Yeah, I mean, if you're building something, cost is going to matter. Like, you could get an Earth Corp to do it or a Mars Corp, but I assume Fred's doing it significantly cheaper.
Yeah,
because I mean, which, you know, again, the economy of this place makes sense. Like, logistically, they're closer to the resources.
Yeah, I guess. But like, I'm just trying to ascertain how wealthy the Mormons are, because if they're anything like the Scientologists, they're minted.
I mean, clearly, like,
the Catholic Church,
the biggest ship in human history at this point. So yeah, they got some bank.
Yeah, yeah. So you think, yeah. I guess maybe, I don't know, it could be the case that more prestigious companies might not want to take on the contract because it's too ambitious, like it's too risky.
Yeah, it could be all sorts of things.
Also, the Mormons, you get the sense, like the Mormon, like in this universe, like the Mormons are a bit of a joke. The way Havelock, you know, gives them they're running comedy nights, you know, they're a little bit like, yeah, I mean, it's a general.
Yeah, I don't think they chose the Mormons to mean the Mormons specifically. I think it's just
No. They are.
This is one of the Earth cults that survived, sort of thing. You know?
Yeah. But I do think the Mormons, they have a sort of a very modern, almost like a corporate. It wouldn't work if it was the Catholics.
It's too much.
Like, it's got to be Scientology or the Mormons or something modern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe... I was going to say Latter-day Saints. No, that's the Mormons, isn't it? Yeah, it could be.
Jehovah's Witnesses, is that the one you were thinking of?
Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, could be one of them. I mean, I don't know. It could be the Amish do it.
You're not going to do it with the Scientologists because they're incredibly litigious. So,
And also dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. Was there anything else in the ship? I like Alex was good in this, but he freezes Lopez in the bag.
Well, you can see Alex has a bit more care for Lopez than the others because he's Martian.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, you know, he sees the logo and all that, you know, the insignia and things like that, and he's So he goes and says goodbye to him when the others are just like...
See, I think this is a very big Miller episode and also a little bit Dawes. You learn a lot more about Dawes. You get that scene with Dawes in the noodle bar. And again, it's one of those scenes where you can either read it as Dawes fronting like he cares about the people, but really he's only cares about his own power or blah, blah, blah. But like I've said before, I buy Dawes. I buy that he genuinely cares about the cause and genuinely cares about the people. But Miller, he offers Miller, you know, the dude that pinned his friend up. That doesn't resolve, so I won't say any more about that. But also a lot of Miller.
Yeah. So it doesn't resolve. Is that like the last we heard of it? Or is that... it doesn't resolve in this episode.
In this episode, right?
And Miller obviously finding the pilot who took Jules to somewhere or did something for her.
Yeah.
All the bits of which...
I can't remember all the... Yeah.
She hides that pilot.
She hires the ship more than once, I think.
Right. So Miller's talking to that pilot and sort of going like, oh, you're in love with her, blah, blah. And I think this is a little bit coming from several watches, but I don't think it's going ahead of where we are. You get a little bit of a sense, I think, that there's something like Miller's starting to feel something towards Jules Mao. It's not just curiosity or the mystery. He feels something for her.
Yeah, he thinks he's starting to get to know her a bit.
Yeah.
By proxy.
Yeah. Oh, like a little bit like a parasocial relationship kind of thing.
Yeah. I think it comes up in the next episode. I'm not saying that as a spoiler. I'm saying like I'm not jumping too far ahead. Miller's kind of falling for her. Because it makes sense because I mean, first of all, there's something I can't talk about for a very long time, but of what I can talk about, she kind of represents everything that he isn't and he wants. Everything that's absent from his life is in, like, you know, she's stuck to her gun. She followed her heart. She followed her morals. She's doing good. She's heroic. She's brave. She's all the things that he sees himself as, but has kind of failed to be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In the noodle bar. Who's the guy again? Is the
Anderson Dawes?
Dawes. So yeah, he offers up the guy that pinned Havelock.
Yeah.
is this a gesture of goodwill? Is this political maneuvering?
Well, my reading on this is Dawes arranged for Miller's partner specifically to receive that treatment, so that he had this bargaining chip so that he could get the Julie Mao information. So when I say I would follow Dawes, I don't think he's a saint, but I do think he does ruthless things for the right reasons, I think.
So hang on a minute. When you say Dawes is like behind this, do you mean he actually arranged Havelock to get shot or arranged him to get medical treatment?
Yeah, and I think...
No, to get I don't, maybe not specifics, but to get killed probably is what he asked for.
So he's like, make sure he goes low down, not the heart.
I knew this was going to start again.
No, I think the daughter's order was probably kill Havelock. And the fact that they failed is kind of beside the point. They still brutally assaulted Havelock so that he had this bargain. I'll give you the dude who killed Havelock if you give me the Julie Mao information.
And it shows that that Dawes wants to know more about sort of what happened to Julie as well. Yeah. So it's interesting. There's a point where he sort of loses track of her himself.
Yeah.
And that's what
In the last meeting, he starts off by feigning ignorance, like, I don't know who Julie Mao is. But then towards the end of the meeting, he's like, yeah, I know Julie Mao, but I don't know any more than you. But I'm not interested. It's like, who's she? Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember. And then this meeting is clearly he has more interest than that.
Yeah, I think with the first meeting, it almost seemed like he was playing dumb to try and get as much information out of Miller as possible.
Yeah, it seems that way. Yeah.
You know, what questions are going to ask?
At least to work out how much Miller knew.
Yeah. I read that a little bit differently. I read it that Dawes Havelock just seemed like it certainly didn't seem planned because like Havelock wasn't supposed to be there. He only went because he knew that his friend
he was there for a while when he got spotted. You do see him getting spotted.
Okay.
Actually, I thought you'd mentioned that actually.
The instructions might have not been place specific, just, you know, at some time in the next week, kill Havelock kind of thing, and they saw their opportunity or whatever.
Yeah, or even just kill a cop. Like,
or he got the prostitute to call Havelock down there, which I don't buy. I think the prostitute is good. I think she's nice, but there's a possibility.
No, yeah, well, Miller certainly seems to blame her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, but then I think that might just be just a broad sort of almost like a desperate prejudice almost. Like, it's like, you know, like, it's almost like a you can't trust a sex worker type. It's a bit like in that particular scene where Havelock was in the
medical place.
Like, in the medical place. Like, Miller was quite like, I mean, he was talking through the sex worker, wasn't he? He was like talking about her in the third person,
yeah,
in a very disrespectful kind of way. Well, so there's,
I don't think that's like, I don't think that's him disparaging like sex workers, or I think that's they're part of the sort of the criminal underworld, and you know, they're all tied to the OPA, and he just thinks Havelock's being naive to expect her to be, you know, I mean, which is correct, you know, out of 10 times, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a prejudice sort of assumption almost, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not it's against sex workers or classism or or just, you know, like cops being like, they're not one of us, as like, you know. Because, you know, like cops like and sort of like military type people in general, they, you know, their instinct is like to close ranks in any kind So it's like, look, you know, she's not a cop, right? Like, it's like,
I get what you're saying, but I don't think Miller's seeing himself as a cop in that situation so much as just not OPA. It's OPA. He's seeing it as they're all OPA. Mm. They all work together, you know. And also, you know, she's a prostitute. Do you really think she's taking money off you and falling in love with you? Like, do you really fucking think that? You know. So I think in this particular instance, Miller's not right, but he would be most of the time in comparable situations.
So to me, I read the circumstance as Havelock just walked down a wrong alleyway, you know, because he's a sole cop in a bad neighborhood, as it were. He got pinned up, and luckily someone called 999 or the...
Well, he pulled himself off the spike is the important part of that.
Yeah,
somebody else
pulled him down and thought he was down. There.
I mean, like, it's just a spike in a wall. Like, if and a body, a human body, is quite heavy. Like, it could have been give it 20 minutes, and he just
slides off.
Ah, no, yeah. No. If you go back to our diagrams, you see the spike is slightly upwards, and it.
I mean, if
but it's are low, you taking the Coriolis effect into account?
if it's like nearer the belly button, then he's top heavy, and therefore,
right, top heavy won't help you go down an upward slope, though.
No, but it'll be like if you pinned like down there, and then you go limp, you'd be like,
yeah, you're more likely to just go sort of sideways, aren't you?
Also,
this is not spinning like a clock,
yeah,
like a Catherine wheel.
Yeah, it's low G, so you sort of, you're falling off, and if you're rough off the ground, then you just keep going for a while. Yeah, the momentum will carry you like a little Catherine wheel.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I'm being naive here, especially after what you suggested, because I almost felt like Dawes actually was legit in this particular moment. I feel like
I might be wrong. You might just be taking advantage of something that happened, but the fact that he immediately has the dude who did it. Who trusts him?
Yeah, he says something along the lines. He thinks I'm protecting him, and he's in an OPA safe house right now.
So he might
thinks
be
he's under my protection. That's right. He thinks he's under my protection.
Yeah, but he knows everyone,
it's,
right?
It's possible he's just taking advantage of the circumstances. But my suspicion is that Dawes ordered this.
I mean, I don't think Dawes said don't kill any cops or anything in particular. I think it's like, it's a little bit like Tywin Lannister kind of thing, where it's a bit like take advantage of a tragedy for your political gain type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. Ultimately, we don't know. Yeah.
And also, Tywin Lannister would have had no problem setting that up anyway, you know? So I don't
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it's a crossbow bolt, the same as a big spike from a mining equipment.
Well, no, you can't pin someone up.
So is Tywin Lannister okay?
Oh, probably not. I mean,
I don't think it didn't hit his heart.
So he survived. Not, the biggest
but his
spike,
his tunic was
back into the well,
Yeah, I mean, he was in a bathroom. There would have been not medical. He could have washed the.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing to myself because we see with like Gen Z, we've crossed the line where they can sort of laugh at the JFK assassination in a way that like because of our parents, we kind of couldn't. And I saw a meme lately where it was the picture of JFK getting shot with Jackie trying to crawl out of the car. With her ass like pointed at the camera, and the caption was just something like "lol JFK falling asleep when that ass is out" or something like that. it was better wording than that. It was funnier than that. But yeah.
To be honest, I saw the other day a dance interpretation of the Twin Towers falling down. So I think they're actually like.
Well, did you ever see the film Postal?
No.
Uwe Boll. I'm not sure how you say his name. But that opens with an argument about how many virgins it is and stuff. And then you realise they're in the cockpit of a plane and it's about to hit one of the towers.
And actually, in the dance interpretation, they do the one that heads to the Pentagon as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But they don't do building 17 or whatever it is? Where it should be like... But...
German filmmaker. Uwe Boll, I think is how you say it. Uwe Boll. Boll and Uwe, yeah. But
one who made all the video game movies before.
Yeah,
video
House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, Alone in the Dark 2, Blood Rain, which I thought Blood Rain was kind of okay, not great, but I kind of liked it. I think it's just because I like horror quite a lot. Oh God, I didn't realize there was sequels to it though. Oh my God, I did not know that. Right, anyway, but Postal. There it is. Postal was. 2007, so you know that was one of the earliest ones to get in there, I think. And I mean, the bit at the beginning is pretty much nothing to do with the rest of the thing, but you know, you kind of there's a connection later, and yeah, anyway, yeah, 2007,
yeah. When Miller's not wearing his suit jacket, he looks a lot more slender because obviously suit jackets build up the profile, you know, a fair bit. And it looks, yeah, like he looks for a film noir kind of guy. He looks very slender, and it's obviously that's the belter.
Yeah, belters are skinnies. That's one of the nicknames to get, isn't it? Skinnies.
Yeah, skinnies. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's an offensive one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
A fine looking man.
His haircut's kind of interesting.
He's got kind of a lot of long hair, but shaved to the side.
I think in season two where he redoes his hair. Space age hair shavy thing, which is, I love that scene. It's a great scene in itself, but I love that detail in it as well.
And yeah, when you said the futuristic coffee cups.
Yeah.
Now, were you talking about on the Rossananti, or were you talking about because there's Miller holds a coffee cup, and also his immediate superior, the lady that comes in at the beginning, where she says you don't drink. Since when did you drink coffee? Is she a superior or is she an
equal? That's his ex partner. Like in both senses, in both senses of the word.
Yeah.
And played by the
Oh God, no! I forgot. God, see, you threw me. I got thrown because I was looking up the mugs, and then that made me sort of break my brain, the recovery part of my brain. But it's for goodness sake! Oh, you're evil! You've broke my brain. I've forgotten him.
I'm definitely cut, like to like now that you've mentioned it. I think it was like in the first episode or something. The so much transparent screens is so annoying to me now.
Mm, mm. Mm. Oh, this is these cups, by the way. There's red ones and silver ones on the ship, and this is one of the silver ones.
I think
ones.
The red ones also have a logo. And
they do, yeah, they just
and put, they're clearly they put it on stencil, themselves. Yeah.
What's it made out of?
Plastic, I think.
Plastic, okay. Because it's shiny, it looks like it could be metal.
Like a little bit of vacuumy, you know. So it's one of those keep your tea hot kind of cups.
Athena Carcanus. That's what I was trying to do. That's what I was thinking of. That's...
But yeah, these are like £3 off Amazon. Mm. Yeah.
Athena Carcanus has got really beautiful brown eyes and amazingly lovely hair. I really like Athena Carcanus. She's in quite a lot of stuff. She was in one of the Saw films, or two of the Saw films. Three, apparently, according to this. Okay, so three.
I always liked her, but then I saw the TV show Passengers, and she's really whiny in that, and it put me off her.
Is that the one about the plane that disappears and comes
back?
Yeah,
yeah. It's not very good.
I was watching it for a while, and I got fed up. Manifest. That's
Manifest, not Passengers.
She plays the mum in one of the families. Yeah. God, now you've reminded me of somebody else from that show called Parveen Kaur, Kaur, who plays the doctor in that. You've got me calling it Passengers. Manifest. She's also beautiful. Anyway.
She's gorgeous. Yeah.
I have a thought. I have a question. Just to flick back to something.
Well, we could talk about the Expanse a bit more if you want. But
what's that? Naomi, it is insinuated that she has some kind of association with the OPA, as maybe Amos as well.
Well, only if you believe the Martians. That's the only source of that information so far.
Well, didn't Holden sort of think about it or suggest?
Yeah, but that's not that's just speculation.
That was after it was put into the.
We got no hard evidence of that.
Okay, because we have some circumstances.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. But yeah, we've got no. Yeah, but go on.
Well, Alex is the one that identified. The man that's not Brian Johnson, Fred Johnson, but if you look at Naomi, she's like dead eyed. She's like,
She's beautiful. Well, as well.
I think it's because she's British. I'm not as into her. But Athena Carcanus, I've always had a thing for her.
I'll pop Naomi up here because
she's like, hard. Yeah, there's a hardness to her, but I think that's. I think so
I think
far
it's the hair I think it's the hair she's got in this.
Show. The haircut is great. She changes the haircut later on.
This is her when Brian Johnson's communicating in.
Yeah,
Fred that's not a look of confusion. That's a look of
she doesn't like him.
I mean, she knows who he is. She knows.
Yeah,
who
I mean,
he
you
is.
Remember it's Belters that she killed. That
well,
he killed.
The thing is, she knows. Yeah. She knows. I don't know because Alex is the one that identified him, so she doesn't go. Oh, that's Brian Johnson. It's Alex that does that.
Fred Johnson.
Fred Hampton.
Yeah, Fred Johnson. That's the guy I said all along. Lead singer of AC/DC, Fred Johnson. Also in... so I don't know. Like, it seems that... I don't know if she knows him or not. I'm judging from your reaction that she's probably... If she is OPA...
Well, don't take her reaction into it. But when you're talking about Alex identifying him, it's kind of like, oh, the butcher of Anderson Station. Yeah, he does say that part.
I mean, he's well known. He's well known because of the butchery thing. He's well known because he's the boss of Tycho Corporation. That's a big deal, and he's well known because he's an OPA faction leader. Like he's a famous dude, and everybody knows about him. You know.
Okay, because he says, "Isn't that the OPA hotshot?" Which is which is what you would describe as famous, right? Like to be honest, if like 90% of famous people were just like presented. To us, we probably wouldn't get them. Like, if I don't know what happens if I type into like DuckDuckGo a famous person.
Okay, yeah, top famous person. Up. Let's see if we know who they are.
Taylor Swift.
And whether they're OPA.
List of top 100 famous people. Oh, okay, but this is of all time, and we've heard of all of these. the top of the list is Marilyn Monroe, and then Abraham Lincoln, Nelson Mandela, Queen Elizabeth II, JFK, Martin Luther King, Winston Churchill, Donald Trump, Bill Gates, Muhammad Ali.
We didn't start the fire.
But no, you're right. I haven't heard of any of them.
Yeah, really.
So what about influencers of 2024?
Not influence. That's Instagram famous. That's not real famous.
Celebrities of 2024. Okay, people you'll know in 2024, like rising star.
Although he is, he's not like he's a political figure more than.
Okay, yeah,
he hasn't
released
any albums as far as we know.
Marisa Abila, I don't know who she is. Paul Maskell,
no.
Brian Jordan Alaveras,
no.
Erling Haaland,
mm-mm.
No, he's an athlete, so maybe not. I don't know. Gracie Adams, Noah Kahn. Do you know who Chapel Roan is?
I've heard the name, but that's it.
Singer? What about?
I'm guessing singer.
Yeah, singer. What about JoJo Siwa?
No.
Okay. These are just people that I know. What about Charlie D'Amelio?
No.
What about Ninja?
The streamer and pro gamer. Yes. Whatever.
Is he one of the? I was going to say, he's a pro gamer streamer. Obviously, he's a twat. But
yeah. I think like Andrew Tate, you probably know him.
Yes.
He's a well-known. Yeah.
So I don't know,
is he not arrested and out the way now? It's like, what was it the other day? Who is it?
I would say, okay, comparable, sort of. But Oliver North at the time, everybody knew who Oliver North was because he was all over the news, right? Mm-hmm. Famous traitor. And that's comparable to Fred Johnson, plus he's head of this corporation, plus he's an OPA faction leader. People with any kind of political or whatever interest, they're going to know who he is.
Oh, so maybe he might be an equivalent of, but not as, not like maybe like a, well, like Jack Dorsey or...
I know that name vaguely. Who's that?
He's the Twitter and Blue Sky guy.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, he's more politics than business, I would say.
More politics than business, yeah. For me. Yeah,
I think Oliver North is Oliver North. If he went on to, join the Taliban,
And also, I was going to say something. I think we've talked about this before.
We're not getting cancelled again, are we?
No.
Even I didn't say the C word out loud.
I rely on the income from these videos
to fund your Lamborghini habit
and my yacht addiction.
Yacht addiction. Yeah. You don't sail them because you can't go outside. You just like buying them.
Just like buy the yacht. I want a yacht with another yacht, a smaller yacht on it.
That's how you know you've made it, when you've got a yacht inside of the yacht.
Well, I want a yacht with a yacht on it, and the second yacht has a helicopter pad with a helicopter on it.
But someone told me, I don't know if this is true, that the difference between a boat and a ship is that a ship can store boats on it.
Fair, yeah.
Possibly, but usually a boat, A boat is usually a launch or submarines are always called boats, for example.
I know that, like in the Navy, if it has a captain, it's a ship.
No, because submarines don't have a. They're not ships. Submarines aren't ships.
Yeah, submarines.
Submarines
are
boats. No, I mean the terminology for a submarine is a boat.
They can't even float, so I don't think they're a boat.
Yeah, no, they just sink.
Submarines can float.
No, they can't.
When they want to, they're just temperamental.
Well, they do float. This is the point, is they do float. They don't just sink straight to the bottom. That wouldn't be much use. But there's even a film about it, Dust Boat.
When they make, this is how, I don't know how much you know about military production, but when they make a boat, if it doesn't work, if it sinks, then that's how they get submarines.
See, that makes sense.
So they fuck it up.
And if it floats away, then that's a spaceship.
Exactly. Or an airplane, depending on how high.
Yeah, there's an interesting bit in
Mass Effect. This is the kind of science you get from us.
In Mass Effect, where there's a big distinction between ships, space types of spaceships, because like Asari, which are like an alien race, the Asari, they have cockpits, and human ships have bridges. Like that's apparently a.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would have thought the cockpit was just usually a smaller control area, really. Fighters and bombers have a cockpit.
It might be the style of the ship, as in Asari will have a cockpit, whereas
the blue ones.
Yeah, they're the blue ones.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And also one of the things about the Asari, I think you see this in Red Dwarf as well, is that there is this rumor that goes throughout the series that Asaris take on the shape of the person they're speaking to. So they're humanoid to us, but to like the other creatures, they look like a blue version of them. But it's never
Smurfs.
Yeah. They can't pick their color, only their shape.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And or their hair. They can't do hair.
Yeah, fair enough.
They
yeah,
do, they can do
Odo on Deep Space Nine.
It's yeah, I but it's never confirmed. It is always just like it's like a conspiracy theory in the Mass Effect universe.
Is this in game or is this?
Yeah, yeah, in game. Okay. Yeah, yeah, like it's like a. I don't know if they don't flesh it out that much in game. It's just a like an insinuation because everyone finds them attractive and they have
kind of like that as like you know back in the day there were weird stereotypes about you know races. I'm not going to mention any of them because they're all awful. But just like you know certain things like, like different physiology or whatever and yeah just these. Urban rumor type things, and it kind of sounds like that, or it could be true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, is it phrenology? Is that the thing? Like, as well,
it's the head bumps. Like,
well, that's the head thing.
The head bump. Yeah, yeah. But phrenology is like Nazis were into it because it's
you
have the brow of
it. No, I was thinking more like the really silly ones, and I apologize saying this. Yeah, like, the idea that a certain race, their vaginas were on sideways.
Oh that, right! That, oh, God, I've heard that. Like that's a long time since I heard that one.
Yeah,
sex education in high school was the last time I heard that one.
That's a 60-year old. That's like World War.
I never heard that one at the time. I only heard that retroactively, and I was.
No, I heard. Yeah. I heard somebody asked that in first year high school sex education class.
Oh wow. See, to me that when you just like that sounds like World War II level of.
Exactly, yeah.
Era stereotypes, yeah. You know. But yeah. I've never heard that not referred to in non historical context almost.
Well, I'm old.
Anyway, The Expanse.
Okay, so
was there anything left?
We were mostly on the Millery stuff, weren't we?
Yeah.
I think it's another one of those building up to something episodes, I think. There's a decent amount of Miller stuff, and then there's the crew working out. Really, in the big sense, like not a lot happens. Miller finds out that Anderson Dawes wants information about Julie Mao, and the crew decide whether to go to Anderson to Fred. What's in there? Brian Johnson.
Tycho Station.
Brian Johnson. Yeah. I mean,
Brian Johnson's AC/DC station.
Yeah, the rock station.
They decide whether or not to, you know, to rock up there.
Yeah. Oh man, I see. The thing is, I know it's a little bit on the nose. They do this at the beginning of Game of Thrones as well, where they do the subtitles across all the different. So they start off with like King's Landing.
Yeah.
They don't do it in House of the Dragon, which is shameful, really, because House of the Dragon, like there's like. A good reason why a lot of people might want to start on House of the Dragon and not bother with Game of Thrones, because I think even in the time that Game of Thrones has passed, I think the culture of television has moved on even quite a lot from then. Wow,
yeah, I think
actually, has that 15 years ago or something when Game of Thrones kicked off? I was like, so there's going to be a lot of people. Like, if I was to recommend someone to get into Game of Thrones, I would much recommend them to go to House of the Dragon because it doesn't. It's not as like. The sexual violence isn't as intense and a lot of the it's less sort of it's less jarring, it's more like in the culture of what you'd expect to watch today, I guess. But I love the subtitles for this. It totally helped me, and I wish more shows did it. And it sounds like if the story was told properly, then you should be able to work it out yourself, but I don't mind.
I'd prefer not to have them, but they are, undeniably useful. Yeah, I mean, you will learn where the places are anyway, because
you learn them by context and by who's there and all that sort of thing. But when you're just seeing things from the outside in the first few episodes,
I don't remember them doing it a ton. I mean, once you know where all the places are, you know where all the places.
Oh, they don't need to do it all the way through. No, they just need to do it for the first.
Couple.
I mean, or I suppose whenever. Something new, you know, whenever you're introduced to something new, I suppose is really.
I mean, the most sort of cliched version of that is like the White House. Everybody's not going to recognize the fucking White House.
In Star Wars: The Acolyte, there was one where they did unknown location.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me I don't know where we are, right? Okay. it's Star Wars, so I'm not going to take it too seriously. And sometimes they do a lot of this stuff. I think tongue-in-cheek. There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff with the Acolyte.
Right.
And it was actually just a straight-up lot of horniness, to be honest, which I know it has been a long time since I've seen. Which I haven't seen in
I'm
Star
glad,
Wars.
I'm glad that there was a period because of the way ID politics was going and stuff. There was a period where everybody was too afraid to do anything horny in TV shows, and I'm glad the horniness is coming back in.
Yeah, like and it's horny.
He brought the horny back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more hornier. Well, it's hornier on a level with the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, like it's. But they do it. I think they do it more. They do it with like others, but like they focus on the men a little bit, like, you know, but then but it's a female showrunner, so you know, you let them have a
I want to see attractive people in skimpy clothing on my TV show, but it should be across the board, like of all genders, you know.
Egalitarian, of course. And also apparently it's a riot if you listen to the audio descriptions as well. It gets a bit 50 Shades of Grey.
I mean, in The Expanse, I love a bit of Bobby. I love seeing Bobby. She is a very beautiful woman.
If you were in Scotland, that'd be twice as funny as you think it just was.
A bit of Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby out?
Yeah, Bobby is the word for penis.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was
But I also appreciate it.
Sorry.
I also appreciate it when Amos takes his shirt off. You know, it's a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we haven't mentioned the futuristic splint that Amos gets.
Oh, yeah, that's cool, yeah.
Oh, they look good, don't they? Yeah.
I didn't like the bit before that, though. I'm glad. You know, it's like,
I like the bit where pulling
his leg back into position.
Where Alex is like, do I give him the antiseptic or the...
All right, that answers that then, yeah. Painkiller first.
But yeah, I mean, I'm assuming, like, I don't know how familiar you are with defibrillators that they've, you know, they put up.
I'd be shocked if you know any more than I do.
Oh, okay. So I'm talking about the ones that they put on, like, telephone boxes now and stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
I don't know much about them, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to pull out some first aider.
I just wanted to put a bad dad joke in there, you know.
You know, that's a good joke. That made me.
Oh my god, I missed the joke. But don't tell me. Don't explain it. I will rewatch it.
Okay.
But the the thing that you're supposed to know is, well, I'm going to find out because it might be that I've missed something completely obvious, or it might be like missed out.
Sorry. Do carry on. Sorry.
So the thing that everyone involved with these defibrillators wants everyone, as many people to know, is that anyone can use them, right? So if you see someone who needs their heart starting, then you might have trouble, Drew, but like leaving your house and stuff. But the machine itself actually gives you verbal instructions as to what to do, where to place them, when to stand back, and it does the 3-2-1 clear all automatically. Like, it's all super automatically. Cool. And the thing that everyone wants you to know, because like my mum's a nurse, so she's like, is that, like, don't be afraid about it, because you can't fuck it up, right? You can't just like electrocute. You can't. First of all, you need to dial 999 to open the defibrillator. Usually, I don't know if there are some that don't or whatever, but like, yeah, you're supposed to dial 999 before opening the defibrillator anyway. So they'll be on your speakerphone, presumably, whilst you're doing it. But there's also like instructions that are visual. There are instructions that it will read out the instructions. It'll be like, it'll tell you when to be clear of the body, because you'll be doing CPR. And presumably there'll be one person doing CPR whilst you're setting up the defibrillator and all that kind of stuff. But the long short of it is they're very hard to fuck up. And so even if you don't have any first aid training, don't be afraid to like do it, because it's better to try it and get it wrong, because you won't make it worse rather than not bother. And I kind of assume, sorry, that was a really roundabout way of saying, it's probably like the same with the gear on that high-tech spaceship. Like, everything is like foolproof, right?
Yeah.
They sort of put the bracing and plaster thing on his leg, and then it sort of clamps into position and fills itself in.
Yeah, but also they, cool. I would like, what's interesting though is that and this is another weird off the out of pocket thing, is that the driving test, as I understand it, please correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but the driving test in Sweden includes CPR, which is why, if you look at all the like the effectiveness of CPR across the world, like it only works in like 5% of cases worldwide, except in Sweden where it's like 35%. And it's because they teach CPR, and there's also other, like, you know, they sort of expect you, everyone, to know CPR and to be ready to do it when
seems
necessary.
It's weird to connect it to a driving test rather than just like teaching it in school, though. That seems to be a strange place to attach it.
My suspicion is that it's Sweden. They probably do it in school as well.
Probably, yeah.
But it's part, I know that it is, it's part of the driving test, presumably because it, I don't know, like I've never been in a road incident where I've even required CPR. Mm. Like maybe like stopping a blood, you know, maybe, you know, concussion, like, and don't let someone fall to sleep with a concussion.
That's a myth, apparently.
Is it a myth?
I'm not a medical expert, so don't trust me on that. But I heard somewhere that
this is not a medical podcast.
It's not a medical podcast, as you've probably worked out from the earlier conversation about.
And what I did learn from watching TV as a kid is if you get hit on the head and you get amnesia, hit yourself on the head again, and you'll get your memory back.
Oh yeah. That's how Matt Damon did it in the Born Identity. Yeah.
You need a hit on the head to remember that.
Yeah, we should have called it the Bonk Identity, really, shouldn't
they? Good films, for what it's worth. They look like schlocky nonsense action films, and they kind of are, but they're very good ones.
Bonk Identity films.
Well, they were quite interesting in that, like, they were considered, they were a they were seen as a modernization of James Bond back in the day.
Because action films have got very hyperbolic, like, you know, the Simpsons joke where something goes flying off and it always explodes, and, you know, the cars crashing into each other, and the car chases were very sort of real feeling, and the car crashes were just like, you know, they got dented up, they didn't all explode for no reason.
Yeah. And also Matt Damon, another handsome man. I think he changes a lot. His handsomeness changes a lot from film to film.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think there's a handsomeness. But sometimes he's like, he has that little like blue-eyed boy kind of look. But then sometimes in some films he's got a bit more of a rugged.
I think I like him because he's got like, he's always got like a bit of a cheeky glint in his eye, and I think that takes you a long way.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he almost looks like he's sometimes trying to like second guesses himself, which makes him feel
uncomfortable.
Like it's like, you know, you can almost like you can see the cogs turning in his But I don't know why we're breaking down Matt Damon. We should have a handsome man's gallery
just at the end.
And the handsome ladies.
And the handsome ladies. But also, side note, just put up another one because I was on a random frame. And
for the last like 10 minutes, I've been like, Naomi's really looking for something on the back of your neck.
she's intrigued about your hair, I think. Yeah.
Well, oh, I don't even know if you're going to be able to see this.
I've seen the Crocanus, yes.
Oh, you can't, damn it. So, there's a guy with a mustache, just out of frame. Okay. I
think Crocanus is not impressed with his mustache for the looks of it.
Are you taking screenshots and sticking them up or using the video?
Just using screenshots. I did consider suggesting having like a fourth square where I or one of us does a screen share.
That could be handy, yeah.
It took me ages to get the flags right.
Yeah, but I understand, like, I know that. Hamish took a while to.
Oh, actually, no. The first time we did it, we'd had that problem with your video where you'd come in twice, and we were actually in a triangle anyway. And the flags originally were two of them were up a bit and one of them was down. But now there's a bigger view of each of us and a flag at the flags are arranged in a row across the bottom.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do that one. Okay.
I noticed his moustache at the time as well for some reason. He's one of the cops in the briefing. Yeah,
I can't grow my moustache that thick.
It's a very cop moustache.
It is
very cop moustache.
I've trimmed recently.
You look good with facial hair. Actually, yeah, because sometimes you do whenever you've done a full shave, like you look like a bit of a baby.
It's one of the, it reminds me of where, like, my dad had a mustache his whole life, and he shaved it off once, and I think he just walked into the room. We were all like, "No, grow it back."
I actually some time ago I had long hair, I did actually shave my beard pretty closely, and I looked very womanly, surprisingly womanly, and it's like to the point where I think if someone took a glance at me with long hair and no beard, I think you know, it's
they're gonna be disappointed later.
Or not, you know. No, but just use expectations. I mean, I could, I could be a master of disguise, like in Life of Brian.
He's not over.
And that's about as good as my impression of anyone else, anyways. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. Yeah. I was very surprised when I saw that film for the first time, because you see Full Johnson.
I don't remember, it's some long time since I've seen it.
Yeah, it's just like there's not really a reason for
Hang on, we've got Brian Johnson, Fred Johnson, and
Phil Johnson.
Full Johnson. Unobscured Johnson. Yeah, it's just like, Full Johnson.
Anyway.
Are we done with the show, perhaps?
Well, no, because I've got a point to make. I'm waiting to see what... Right, okay, I'll just throw this back in and possibly get us back a track. Right. And also we've got the very end part, the cliffhanger part to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, when he goes back to Julie Mao's... Sorry, he goes into the data broker. Have you talked about him going to the data broker?
No, not mentioning the data broker.
We've missed out like half of Miller's stuff.
It's a Miller episode. We barely mentioned
it. you can recap that bit if you want, Chris. You're the one with the notes. Do you want to?
I know I can pick up where we left off with Miller.
Yeah.
Sherpa. We're introduced to Sherpa.
Yes, finally. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Sherpa in previous episodes of this podcast. So I was like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme. It was like, yeah. That was a terrible impression of the meme. It's like,
no, it's quite good.
Okay. Sherpa is presumably then a business person of sorts.
Oh, I just take it to be a code word for the deal.
Are we in the right order with the badges? Yeah. The flags. Yeah. Okay. Got to get the most important thing first. Sherpa. So he has that ruckus with the guy in the store, because the store presumably is either a front, or they're using the back of the store for some of this data brokerage stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I did quite like, there's a lot about I like that scene, and I think I've probably missed out like half of the stuff that I even liked. So he goes into the back room. I'm judging kind of from what you hear from the guy who takes him there, that he only knows the bare minimum of what
he's about.
And then, like, Miller's basically, like, there's a lot of junk on the side, but then Miller basically has to, like, start sifting through the countless SD cards or whatever their equivalent is. And, of course, if you are hiding data, hiding one SD card in a big pile of SD cards.
Well, that would only be more effective if they weren't blank. No, that's what you realise, is they're all blank data.
The cards
he picks up, they're all blank.
And then what does he finds one that's not like the others, like it's on.
No.
No,
he notices something.
He notices something. He's looking around and he's clattering around and... he doesn't know what he's looking for. He's being very messy. Oh, there's a bed in that room. So whoever was there looks like they were sleeping there at some point. He jiggles a pipe. So he's just looking like, yeah. And then the camera pans out and it's where, what, how is it? And it's part of the hamster. There we go.
Give the boy a coconut. He got there in the end. Yeah. So he realizes from that that the hamster Julie and the wheel in Julie Mao's apartment is more than just a bit of...
He goes, hang on, that hamster's not real?
Yeah, which is kind of like...
What, the one with the eyes that flash different colours and stuff?
Well, I assume that the hamster was real. He talks to the hamster as if it was real, right?
He doesn't think it's real.
No, it's rock solid still.
No, not that. No, sorry.
No, they do run. It does run, but it's clearly like...
There's places where it stays still and it's just literally still. Yeah, he's flash colours and stuff.
When in, I think it's episode 2, where he searches Julie Mao's apartment...
He says something like, you'll get there in the end, buddy, when it's running on the wheel.
Yeah, that, at that stage, I thought the hamster was real.
No, we'd seen it react when he comes in as well. It's in a cage. It's kind of in the foreground.
It would just run away. Yeah, it's not in a cage.
It's just on the sideboard.
I mean, I know I've broken down a frame by frame of what's in their food cupboards, but I honestly...
I don't think after this we can trust you with the spike.
You've become an unreliable witness now.
Well, I've proven myself false on the spike anyway. I've undercut...
You argued yourself around, did you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my argument is that it's the inconsistencies with the show, because his
objection, my lord. This barrister's clearly received no legal training whatsoever. He doesn't even know a hamster when he sees one.
I'm an expert in bird law. This is out of my jurisdiction. I know the lawyering. But no, I mean, I'm pretty certain that the wound moves down. God. Like,
no, back to the hamster. We're
done with the wound. Okay, yeah, done with that.
So this data broker puts SD cards inside of hamsters. That doesn't sound...
That sounds a bit weird, but yeah.
That sounds, yeah.
We know what you mean.
So, at that moment...
Robot hamsters.
Yeah, like it, you know, the penny drops that, oh, that was actually not a real... Because I didn't overanalyze the hamster. Like, at that point, I was still, like, taking in all of the context of the show. I was like, oh, Miller's, you know, because, like, Miller was doing a lot of other stuff that was drawing your attention. Like, he was, like, he was using her water. He was using the voice changer. And the gadget he's got, now, is that, like, the equivalent of a smartphone? Does everyone have gadgets?
Yeah.
So I can't remember. They do call it something at some point. Communicate.
But it's literally clearly an analog. And I've said before, like, I love that his is cracked. You know,
it's good. Yeah. And I'm going to guess, but don't react to this, that crack may like help you discern that it's his in another context, perhaps.
No.
Oh, okay.
Don't react. He shouts over. No, but you do. Like, well, it helps you to know it's his when he's handling other ones.
Yeah.
Like, no, in this episode, because he throws.
There's never a point where he's kidnapped and like, or you know, no, it's not. No. Just a little
parrot. He's kidnapped.
The phone doesn't reveal that. You know.
He's just
the kind of person. There's kind of people who just live with a cracked screen, and there's the kind of people who get them replaced. And he is the kind of person who, like me, who would just live with a cracked screen.
Yeah. Lucy had a cracked screen for ages on her old.
Yeah.
It's like. I think I probably.
He disposes of another one. In the waste, and that's why you know it's not his one that he's thrown away because it doesn't have cracked screen. And he thinks about disposing of Julie's picture, but he doesn't.
Okay.
Easy in love.
See, that to me doesn't feel like. I was going to say, that doesn't feel like The Expanse. That feels a little bit like, just feels a little bit Blade Runner-y or something. Like,
what specifically, sorry?
It feels a little bit Blade Runner-y that he's falling in love with the Julie Mao.
It's weird, and it's clearly, it wouldn't be a healthy, you know, but I mean, it can happen, right? You know, I'm in love with Bobby.
I guess so. So he puts the SD card on the inside of it, in the inside rim of his hat as well.
Right, wait a minute. Can we? This is the point I wanted to get to. You've skipped straight past the bit I want to go. He goes flying along to her apartment or room or whatever it is. He opens up the hamster and he throws away the lid and then discards the hamster by the side when he's got the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this information is important enough for him to hide, which he does immediately hide it in the brim of his hat, why does he not put the hamster back together and put it back where it was? That annoys me a lot. That seems like a, you know, a rookie mistake. But I mean, I suppose part of it is he's just like, he's kind of cracked the code or whatever, you know. But the fact that he then immediately thinks this must be important, I'm going to hide it, and puts it in the brim of his hat and puts his hat back on.
I mean, you do get the impression, I guess it fits, again, it fits his character, because again, going back to the film noir thing, like he's not particularly into tech. He's not a techie person. And so he probably wouldn't think of that kind of thing.
I'm not talking. For not getting the thing. But what I'm talking about is the fact that he leaves a clue for somebody else who might.
Oh no, I get it. No, I understand. Yeah.
I suppose in his mind, it's Julie Mao's apartment, right? So it's been like abandoned, maybe.
Well, it's probably still paid for.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it's rich people.
No, but I think Hamish is right, because I mean, we know Dawes is after the information, and Dawes could get in there if he wanted to, and he would spot the hamster, and you know, which may have happened.
But I mean,
we're at 2 hours now, guys, just so you know.
Okay, all right. I'm just thinking Dawes might have thought that was a real hamster too, but you know,
what, along with you,
yeah. I do like Dawes, actually. I'm looking,
have you ever seen a real hamster?
Sorry, Drew.
Did Hamish? You said you had a couple. Did you have any more before we?
Oh, I've probably derailed myself a bit there. I can't remember. Carry on.
So he puts in. That's a really clever hiding place as well, because like it's not. You know,
I'm sure,
like,
that's a callback to some, not a callback.
No, it keeps reading off my head.
No, I meant reference to like some
like film.
They always put stuff in their hats.
Isn't it literally an expression? Keep it under your hat.
That's true.
Yeah. Ready to go, like ready to like.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Keep it more secret.
Yeah.
Discreet but close at hand, or something. I guess. I don't know. So, but that's a particularly good place to. But also, I mean, it's a noticeable hat, and all someone's got to do is snatch it off his head, and he's lost it. Like, I mean, the idea is quite good, but like maybe like in the cuff of your trouser or something.
Somebody steals his trousers.
Actually, I was thinking when I was watching this, I was thinking, you know what? I could hide this in my hair. Like, I've got an SD card here, right? And this is a big one, like a micro SD card. You could literally hide, I reckon, like a micro SD card. Like, you could hide that in so many places, like you could in your belly button.
But you can lose them so easily as well.
Under your foreskin?
You can.
If you've got a foreskin.
If you've got a foreskin. But it's yeah.
I mean, you could put that SD card in a hamster and then hide the hamster in your hair.
like seriously. Oh my God, I might regret this. Don't do this at home. There we go. Can you see it?
It's lost forever now.
That is, yeah. I'm gonna have to get a brush on that. There you go. Secret SD card. That's really good. And you can't even feel it. Like,
I'm glad that he didn't think about sticking it up his arse something, demonstrating on stream. You know?
Well, if you want to do something a bit bigger, like a USB drive.
No, you'd have that in your leg, and you have to get a big spike to take it out. You know?
Yeah. See, the real crime about all this is now that there is video evidence demonstrating the best hiding, one of the best, yeah, the best hiding place in my body. Because let's be honest, everyone knows if you want to, like, sticking up your ass, that's an obvious place. You'd never stick it up your ass. You can stick up your nose. Oh, well, that's a bit risky, isn't it?
If you sneeze, like, again, back to sneezing.
Yeah. Or gasp. Yeah.
It's suddenly like somewhere up in your sinuses instead. You know.
Yeah. And you might. I don't know how it infects the integrity of the thing. I mean, do I have?
We could do the old swallow it and shit it out. Like, how would an SD card do with stomach acid?
Badly.
I wouldn't trust it,
because you know the contacts. Even if the plastic survived, the contacts would. Damage. You know.
Yeah, and I mean also like you have to get the sieve out, right? And you can't just put that in the dishwasher after that.
Imagine somebody like panning for gold.
Yeah, I don't.
Panning for data gold.
All right. Well, anyway, we should. We're clearly done.
Yes. Cut. Oh, and he gets kidnapped at the end.